here closed doors. On the closed doors of refuge, avidya, the land of ignorance. Earlier we had talked about the key. We had brought the key with us. We applied it to the lock. But the key did not turn. And the doors did not open. Why? These doors were electronic, atomic, controlled doors. So that even if you have got the key, you cannot simply turn the lock. Because this key was mental concept. This key was not experience. Unless you have followed certain practices, unless you have had certain experience, in spite of having the key, you can't just turn the lock. That was the state, or that is the state concerning us, we who are in the land of ignorance. We'll see what is the land of ignorance. That is existence. That is the bubble. Refer chart. You have been given the chart, you have been shown the chart. Please try to carefully understand today's notes. The land of ignorance or the land of illusions is not itself an illusion. It does exist. Book 2, Sutra 22 says, in the case of the man who has achieved yoga, the objective universe has ceased to be. Yet it existed still for those who are yet not free. Yoga does not necessarily mean practices. It is a way of life achieved by any of the means. The physical universe is not the whole land. It is only a small part, and together with Bhuva and Swaha, the molecular as well as electronic atomic universe, it is the whole land of ignorance. Yet in the land of ignorance, there can be and is plenty of knowledge. But such knowledge is mithya, that is not good enough to make one understand all the illusions prevailing in the land of ignorance. Knowledge should be such that one is able to see through any illusion or any untruth that claims to be truth. Here is the book before me, written by one of the greatest scientists of our day, Paul Davies, God and the New Physics. That's why I say that in this land of ignorance there is plenty of knowledge. But this knowledge is mithya, not good enough to see through illusions, not to see what is an untruth. The same great author writes in his book, I'll read out for you. Can God exercise free will? Has man free will? If things are predetermined, God has no such power. That is, if the law of karma exists, because then man has no free will. Is God free to prevent evil? If omnipotent, yes. Why does he fail to do so? Is evil entirely a human activity? See, this man writes like this, his knowledge is mithya. He is not able to see through illusions. He is not able to see through what is a non-truth. In Book 1, Sutra 20, you read, physical disability, intellectual lethargy, And third, wrong questioning. All these falls within wrong questioning. All Nitya knowledge falls under wrong questioning. Because it is not possible with such knowledge to see through illusions. It's not possible to know what an untruth is. Yet in the land of Vidya, knowledge should be such that one is able to see through any illusion or any untruth that claims to be truth. Sri Aurobindo in his Savitri writes that so in a routine of daily acts, our eyes are fixed on an external scene. We hear the crash of the wheels of circumstance and wonder at the hidden cause of things. The universe is an endless masquerade, for nothing here is utterly what it seems. It is a dream-packed vision of the truth, which but for the dream would not be wholly true. Hardly a few climb to greater life, all tuned to a low scale and conscious pitch. His knowledge dwells in the house of ignorance. His knowledge dwells in the house of ignorance. In this book, Paul Davies further writes, he feels that there can be a force in the universe like infinite mind. Till today, scientists are afraid to pronounce the word mind. If anybody writes about mind, they call it a ghost in a machine. Because no sooner anyone were to mention mind, the equipment would like to search and find out where mind is. Then they ask whether man has free will. Or is everything preordained? They recently have discarded the idea of a personal God, but a force that is equivalent to God. Can this force have free will? Why does such a force allow evil to exist? Still, evil is not included in the omnipotence of God, the Satya. And evil as separate is hard to prove. That it exists by itself. Who created it? So the knowledge which is undoubtedly great is Mithya, because they cannot see through these illusions of time and space and evil, etc. If one goes beyond existence, that is beyond the land of ignorance, and enters by the doors one which is creation, nothing that exists in existence is needed in creation, as nothing can exist there because of high rate of vibrations in creation. That is, body, brain, mind, senses, sense organs, life, awareness, memory, earth, sun, galaxies upon galaxies, and all that they contain, neither light, nor movement, nor wind, nor water. In the land of ignorance, such a state is called a black hole for want of proper understanding. Whenever one has a mere glimpse of such a state, that is, if one were to glimpse beyond existence, one describes such a state as emptiness or nothingness. That is, from our sense of experience, nothing that we can experience in existence is found there, and hence the terms emptiness or nothingness. The actual term should be creation, where only the two aspects of Satyam prevail, Satyam unmanifest and Satyam manifest, or divine wholeness, the divine fragment that can merge and re-emerge from and into divine wholeness. And there is no idea of multiplicity, which in existence is the primary idea due to ignorance. This is the difference between Sat and Asat, that is between creation and existence. In existence, the first illusion is that we survive and have our progress by the use and help of our brain, which in fact is neither intelligent by itself nor is capable of forming a single thought by itself. All the actual possibilities of the brain are possible because of the constantly flowing infinite mind, as the individual mind which works the brain, but only in the capacity of a catalyst, and this is automatic with all life. Brain, like any other machine, is unable to work without supply of energy, and in this case is the intelligent energy of awareness, life and memory. This energy is known as the sense of the energy of consciousness, Rupa Diagrams. Even so, the functions of the brain are enumerated as correct knowledge, incorrect knowledge, fancy, slip and memory. The higher functions of inspiration, intuition and perception are directly due to communication established with infinite mind, but consciousness. Nature has also provided, because nature has realized this, that not to overload the main brain and not to overload communications in the body-brain system of all life, we are concerned here with humans. Many centers of minor brains are provided with work, which work like the brain, and this is made easy and functional and automatic throughout the body-brain system, and infinite mind flows through the entire body-brain system to make all functional. Beings, transfer of awareness, life and memory percolates to each individual cell and part of cell from the infinite mind. In case of lower life, solar plexus area only works, and if all such working as instinct. This was so clearly understood and expressed in the Shastras. If according to this nature's plan, all life were to exist, especially human, there would be peace in all universe and a state of heaven would exist. But as the working of the infinite mind on brain or the brains is automatic and not conscious, each life works by its own limitations of understanding and absolutely ignoring the promptings of the infinite mind, that is each human life. Hence, there is disease, languor, indecision, carelessness, laziness, sensuality, mistaken notion and instability, leading to shame, despair, understanding and wrong breathing. Unsteadiness and wrong breathing due to such distractions. One remedy, according to the sutra, is to cultivate the habit of friendliness, compassion, etc., namely the corrective and the refining practices, and practice consciously rhythmic breathing. There are many methods of rhythmic breathing known as pranayama, of which three-step rhythmic breathing is most convenient and is so recommended because it can be practiced all 24 hours to keep thinking always rhythmic, since breath and thought formation are inherently connected by nature's law. Why is this to be done? So that the communication between infinite mind and brain, instead of being automatic, may become conscious. What would result from this change if we consciously bring about this change? Then pure awareness replaces the prana of fifth grade by prana of fourth, third and second grade slowly. Hence the higher functions of inspiration, intuition and perception are then possible through the infinite mind in a spatial in a certain spatial area of the brain. This area is the silent area. Today, science is grouping all around the silent area and gives various other points in the brain the importance of various higher functions. The silent area, like Satyam, unmanifest, directly does not work. What finally is worked for and in the long run achieved is that the brain and the sense organs being outgoing, that is, practicing the habit of roaming or going wayward, stop their meaningless pursuits and turn inward. What does turning inward mean? It means being constantly in communication consciously and directly with the Infinite Mind. And whenever the Infinite Mind communicates in the body-brain system, including all the minor brains, is carefully noted and followed. This progressively leads to inspiration, intuition and perception. These functions are contrary to the thinking function. The sutra says, book 149, this particular perception is unique and reveals that which the rational mind or brain, using testimony, inference and deduction, cannot reveal. Book 150 says, it is contrary to and supersedes all other impressions. Hence the difference we note in diagram 1, 2, 3a on the one hand and 3b and 3c on the other. What is the difference between these two sets of diagrams? In the former set, the use of memory is made and in the other, it is not made. Memory is frozen and exiled in the other set of diagrams. What is the benefit if such use is avoided? That is, what is the purpose served? Thought is not formed and so we cease to function at the low level of thinking. Our past memories, soaked in past emotions, experience, make us act in nearly the same old wrong direction. This is preventive. This inward conscious practice begins with pratyahara and proceeds to dharana, dhyana, samadhi. These terms are not to be translated as concentration, meditation and contemplation, otherwise some wrong conception or understanding will follow. The longer and more involved the conscious inner communication established, would one consciously proceed from dharana to dhyana to samadhi. One must, however, understand that these two are mere functions and that there is nothing spiritual about these functions, because the only thing spiritual is human life and being. And if a human being were to function as nature and God as intended and structured, the human being is equal and one with Satyam. This is not philosophy. This is experience. Book 4, 34. The state of isolated unity becomes possible when the three qualities of matter no longer exercise any hold over the self. The pure spiritual consciousness, so withdraws into Divine, that is Satya. You see, we have been talking time and again about ignorance. Ignorance is not lack of knowledge. Ignorance is lack of proper knowledge. Scientific knowledge, like our senses, like our brain, is outgoing. If you remember the episode in our shastras, Kartik and Ganesh, God Kartik set upon his spaceship and went into the universe to gather knowledge. Ganesh went round his parents 7 times. And sat down. He had acquired wisdom. Anything that is outgoing can collect knowledge. But as we said in our last meeting, we gather this knowledge like stones and carry it all the weight of our knowledge because we can make no use of it. When we are suddenly faced by certain emotional conditions, when we are faced with certain crises in life, it's not all our book knowledge, college knowledge that stands by us. It is whatever little knowledge of yoga that will stand by you, make you face all the sudden difficulties that come in your way with a clear mind and find a way. Nature has been very kind. Nature has been very kind, inasmuch as she has taken all precautions to see that we are not isolated. In spite of such precaution, we have always thought that we are isolated. We are on a small planet with nothing around for light years and light years. Whenever we ask for help, no help comes in. And even such good souls as Omar Khayyam would say that inverted ball we call the sky, underneath which we creatures live and die. Raise not your hands to it in prayers, for it revolves as importantly as you or I. We firmly believe that we are alone, we are isolated, there is no help, and all our cries go in vain. Unfortunately, that's a wrong conception. We are prevented from being isolated. Every care is taken, every link is established so that we can communicate. The other day a man ran to an optician and the fellow went on changing the number. He said, "Can you read?" He said, "I can see but I can't read." He said, "Why? I am uneducated." So there may be communication all around us, but if we are not educated in the right sense of the word, we cannot communicate. This lack of communication is not a fault with nature or God. It is our fault. We have not learned to establish this communication. That is why all knowledge otherwise is mithya. Any knowledge that helps you to communicate with that absolute source in the universe called the Infinite Mind will convince you that you are not isolated for a moment. Not only you are not isolated, every help is at hand. Every direction will be shown to you. Every step will be shown to you. The only thing that is missing is our genuine desire to learn these communications. Learn the method of this communication and establish this communication. Right from the beginning, when the first group of Aryans came to India, suddenly they found that there was no reason to waste the whole day searching for game, hunting. There was enough food, enough fruits, enough water. So they established themselves, and in all their spare time they looked up to heaven and they looked within themselves to find this link. So,
And from very ancient days, India has a research department which we today call yoga. A research department in which hundreds of souls throughout the life, dedicating the life to this inward search, went on. The whole period went on for 800 years of research inward, and they established in the shastras what we can now call inner evolution. In the last 100 years, in the West, they are talking about the external evolution. How we slowly changed our form, we became upright, our brain grew in size, how we made use of the tongue, and so forth. India was not interested in external evolution. For 1,000 years, she was only interested in our inner evolution. And the knowledge gathered along this path totally differs from all knowledge the West will gather. The knowledge gathered by the West is very impressive indeed. But with all the knowledge and with all the equipment and instruments, they can't see an inch under the brain or within the heart. This inner evolution would help us to see deep within our brain and deep within our hearts. Our brain is only maximum 2 to 2.5 inches in depth. But each millimeter is 1,000 miles. And in each millimeter, in each slice of brain of 1 millimeter, there are hundreds of faculties which one can learn and develop. Today science agrees that all the 16 billion cells in this chatterbox, each one is capable of 10 simultaneous actions. Such is the power given to you to learn, to know, to communicate. But the entire brain cannot communicate. The part of the brain is the thinking instrument, where mechanically, automatic thoughts come and go. We have never bothered what these thoughts would be. We have never cared to improve this thought. We have never realized that the effect of these thoughts could be so fatal to our body-brain system. We have never cared to see what area of the brain can do something much higher than thinking. In a thought process, there is an outside incoming impulse, there is a memory pattern, and the two together form a thought. The memory will be of our experience previous, and therefore whatever our reaction was there, the same reaction will set in now. And even in this life, our reaction and action would not be very much different from what we must have realized in our last life. And it wouldn't be different in our next life, provided we are awake, conscious to the fact that this is not simply to be allowed. Automatic thinking is not to be allowed. It is our brain, and therefore we must put down our foot and see what are we thinking. Why are we thinking? Can we think in any way better? This is what is the first step in yoga. And if you perceive and if you properly and sincerely go along, then you will very easily discard this very common ignorant way of thinking and will proceed further to intuition, to perception. In thinking, we are making use of all our five senses. These five senses convey to us certain reactions. It's like a king who is surrounded by five ministers who are themselves ignorant and convey to the king their advice, which is also foolish, and the king acts, and his action would be foolish. If we can set aside these five ignorant ministers and directly go about, we would be a little wiser. In the diagrams that you have, all of you, there are two sets. 1, 2, 3A and the other set is 3B, 3C. If you are, I don't know how many of you ever at home look to the notes or to the diagrams, but if you have done so, you will see a vital difference between group 1, that is diagram 1, 2, 3A and 3B and 3C. In 1, 2 and 3A diagrams, you make use of memory. Memory means past experience. Memory means past emotions that made you act in a particular manner. Memory, which means your likes and dislikes. Memory means your structure of acceptance. Memory means your sanskar. This, therefore, is a huge load that you carry, under which you are crushed, the load of memory, not of one life, but God knows how many lives. And certainly you were more and more ignorant in your earlier and yet earlier lives. And that type of memory is still guiding you. Can you be free from this memory? In 3B, for the first time, if you see diagram 3B, for the first time you are free from memory. The incoming impulses go from the side passages to the front brain without memory, without past experience emotions. Therefore, you are able to act differently. And in 3C, memory is exiled or frozen. These are steps. Steps from inspiration to intuition to perception. To perceive is not to see. To look is not to see. You can look at you and not see you. There's a world of difference. If I see you as you are here. If I look at you, I see through you what you are inside. There may be a smile on your face. Internally your brain may be wandering and searching for an answer to your problem. And therefore, though you may be looking at me, you may not be hearing me. You're such a state I can look, see through. That is different from seeing. And different from both looking and seeing, is intuition. And perception is a few light years ahead of intuition. These are the links to communicate with infinite mind. If you can put aside your normal mistaken thinking, replace it by intuition and later by perception, you will know how each human being is linked to every other human being, how each human being is linked with every sun, star, galaxy and whatsoever, with the whole universe, and how one can communicate to the ends of the universe. This is the gift of yoga, of inner evolution. This is what is thrown at your feet. It is up to you to pick it up and do something about it. But the intensity required on the path is the heat at the center core of the sun, 15,000 million centigrade. That is the intensity with which you will have to travel on the path. Okay, I do this today, forget 2 days later, find no time, there's so much to do, and then again come there for half an hour, again forget it for a few days, I have to go out of Bombay, and you know my own this, that, and what not. There is always an excuse every day for not doing. That will not do. If the intensity is white hot, in this life, in this very life, you will realize it. Otherwise, a few million years, you will have to wait. Start all over again, hear from somebody else the same words and do the same things some 10 million, 15 million years later. You have the choice whether you want to start today or you want to start at leisure. God has given free will only in this one direction. Whether you can start on this journey today or tomorrow, the tomorrow that never comes, tomorrow and tomorrow, till the end of time. So, we have seen in June and July, the key to the sutra. In August, we have been roaming around to see the landmarks, the road signs of the land of ignorance. Today we are seeing that in spite of coming to the doors and in spite of having the key, we can't turn the key and open the doors. Because the doors will only open if you have practiced and experienced. Then the key will turn. Now onwards we would like to accumulate that experience and go through those practices so that we may be able to turn the key and enter. There is no philosophy required here. This is life. Most of us have spent more than half our life already, or 3/4. We should be in earnest. We must do something. Do that much so that we may be able to pick up the thread in our next birth and not search all over again. It is said that a normal man in about 100 lives progresses on the path by 1/4 inch. And that's a good progress. Unless he is serious, unless he is intent upon doing, then this long journey can be completed if you are young in this life or in maximum one or two lifetimes. But mere interest in the subject will not do. It must become an obsession with you. You have been all given the three-step rhythmic breathing. How many can honestly place their hands on their heart and say, I am doing consciously for so many hours? I would like to see how many can place their hands on their heart and say, I am doing consciously three-step rhythmic breathing for so many hours. And for three-step rhythmic breathing, I have been talking to you for years. Now if this is the intensity of your determination to go along the path, then the path will stretch endlessly. I know you are busy people. You have your problems, you have your bread and butter problems, you have your family, anger problems. But is there anything in this world more precious than this inner evolution? If you think there is, then you are free to go along your way. But I think there is nothing as precious as this inner evolution. And if we cannot intensively keep an hour more daily, it is useless. These meetings will become social gatherings, nothing more. I will talk and you will listen, but your mind will be wandering elsewhere. And by the time you will go home and sit down and try to write what I have said, which none of you have been doing, if you can go home right away and sit and start writing what I have said, the next day is too late. You have forgotten everything. You will hardly remember a line here, a line there. It is very important. I don't say that we are not sincere people. How many hours did you spend to get through your SSC? Can you use your spend to get through your SSC? An SSC is no value. Today in our land, DA is no value. And if you count all the hours, accumulated hours that you spend to get that very common educational status of being a graduate, you can count thousands of hours you spend. And on this, how many minutes can you count? Where you stand to gain a million times more, how many minutes can you count that you spend? Go home and think over again. What has to be given importance greater? And when you come here next time, come with a different attitude, a different determination, and you shall go forward. All these years, I have always had a great desire to find half a dozen people whom I can embrace and take along with me, provided they have done the homework. I don't find three even, let go half a dozen.